In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, tomorrow's gospel is about when Jesus walks on the water. And I thought I'd go through it just sort of exegetically, not covering everything, but just a few points. A lot of times when a priest is trying to do a sermon, he's trying to focus on one thing. And, you know, you're supposed to tell people what you're going to say, and then you say it, and then you tell people what you said. And if you say more than one point, the probability is that people will not remember anything. So I try to follow that rule, probably not all that well. But now there's other times when I hope to instill in all of you a love for the scriptures and a desire to be biblically literate, to understand them. And there's really no replacement for reading them and being around them a lot to be able to understand them. So it says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Well, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And so the question is, why did he do that? That should be a question that pops up in your mind. You should answer that question. Why did he send the disciples into the ship and go off alone and send the multitudes away? Well, he was teaching the disciples something. A great miracle had happened. The disciples had been part of that miracle. Now, they didn't do anything except distribute the bread and the fish, but people would associate them with that miracle. So they'd have some star power, right? They could be, if you want to say it, like rock stars. People would just want to hang on their every word. And Jesus was teaching them to be humble. After such a great thing happened, he wanted them to go away so as not to bask in adulation and not to think that they were something more than they were. That's a good lesson. When you do something good, hopefully you don't wait around for people to congratulate you about it, because that really is very destructive to the soul. So Jesus is teaching us humility here and to guard ourselves from moments of pride, because they come up all the time. And so after he sends the multitudes away, he goes up into a mountain apart to pray. And this is teaching us the need to pray alone, the need to pray at night. That's why there are vigils at night. Because that is a time, especially when the soul can collect itself and can pray with great fervor. All the hubbub of the day is done, and there's a time of concentration. So this is a very important time. You should try this. Praying at night. Now, it's hard to pray at night when you've watched 3 hours of TV before that. So you have to plan for praying at night. You know, dissipating yourself with too much food, with too much TV, which is TV, period. And it will make it very difficult for you to pray at night. See, Jesus had a mission. He had an idea. He was going to do it, right? He was made a beeline for the mountain to pray. And so this is teaching us how important it is to plan for prayer and to have prayer in our closet, to have prayer alone, and to have prayer at night. And so the ship is in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Jesus is on the mountain, there in the sea. And the Sea of Galilee is pretty big. When you're in the middle of the sea, you can't see the shore from the other side. It's a big lake. And it was tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. This is a metaphor for our life in general. Our life is full of waves, and many times things are very much contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, that is the very last watch, just before the morning, just before the dawn, they'd gone through a storm for an entire night on a small ship that wasn't all that seaworthy. So they'd been up all night trying to stay alive, and then the Lord comes. Well, this is teaching us something too. Patience. The Lord will come, always, without exception. You might not feel that great about things in the third watch of the night, but he's coming. He's coming in the fourth watch of the night in your life all the time. He's completely reliable, and he's completely punctual, by the way. He never comes late. Always comes at the right time. If we really rest in that and believe that, a lot of our misery is taken care of. We don't have misery then. Because God will always come. That's what this is teaching us. And so Jesus is walking on the sea, and they see him. Probably it's barely light, and they see him, and they're scared, and they think it's a phantom or a spirit, and they cry out with fear. And he says, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid. So Peter answers him. And he basically answers him with a question that could be thought of as maybe a bit of a challenge. If it's you, then tell me and I'll come out on the waves to you. That was really superfluous. If it was Jesus, he didn't need to do that, to test if it was him. The question is, if it wasn't him and he got out in the waves, he would have been in big trouble. It wasn't really a very smart test. So he gets out on the waves, and he sees the wind boisterous, it says, and he's afraid, so he begins to sink. So the Lord, of course, is close to him, grabs him by the hand, brings him into the boat, and then he says something that's very important. He says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Remember what I tell you about questions? Every question you have to answer in the Scriptures. That's a question to you. Nobody in here is named Zacharias. Wherefore, Zacharias, why do you doubt? Why is your faith so poor? Why are there so many times you don't believe in the providence of God? Why do you have anxiety? That's the question that you should be answering. And to be honest with you, I don't know how to answer that question for myself sometimes. It defies explanation sometimes why I doubt. I would think that you would be the same, that I shouldn't have doubted. But we should ask ourselves that question. And we should understand that Jesus is in the waves. Now, there's a lot of waves in our life. There's difficulties all the time. Some of them seem insurmountable to human abilities. In fact, they don't just seem, they are insurmountable to human abilities. But Jesus is there, and the fact is he caught Peter by the hand, and that's a promise. That is a promise for you and for me. The Lord will never let us fall into the waves if we believe. Now, if we're weak, if we do what I call stupid human tricks, the Lord will still save us. I mean, Peter basically did a stupid human trick. It was really kind of foolish to say, Lord, if it's you, let me come out on the waves. I mean, what was the purpose of that? And he found out that he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the faith. He saw things around him, and it was too much for him. And without the Lord, he would have drowned. But the Lord was there, even though he did something foolish. And that's true for us. We can do foolish things. I mean, you shouldn't plan on doing foolish things. But when you do something foolish, if you do it at least with a heart that is trying to do the right thing, God will always be there with you. Now, the only time when God might not be there is when we abandon him because of our sins and because of our bad priorities. Then the Lord's hand might not be there. But if you are striving to live a Christian life, even if you're not always doing so well, falling down and getting up, the Lord's hand will always be near you. That's what this little story is telling us. The Lord will always be with us. So ask yourself that question. Why do you have such little faith? Maybe you have an answer for yourself. Maybe it says, you say, well, I'm lazy and I never read the Scriptures and I don't fast and I don't pray. Well, I guess you could start with those things. But it's really more than just that. Of course, you need those things to have faith. But what does your heart tell you? What do you want in life? If your priorities are for worldly things, that's your problem. Now, a Christian can be sinful, but not worldly. Because of weakness, a Christian might sin. But if it's because he has bad priorities, then he's really in a pickle. He's really messed up. You have to have good priorities and good desires. And then the Lord will never abandon you, and you'll always be near his hand. That's what this scripture is teaching us. Now, there's other things in here, too. I mean, we could talk a long time about it. But that's basically it. The Lord will always be there for us. It's a promise. But it ain't going to be easy. There are going to be waves. There is going to be wind. It's going to be hard. And you're going to get scared. And you're going to lose it sometimes. But if your eye is on the prize, if you're desiring to live as a Christian, God will never abandon you. That's absolutely true. You're going to get through it. That's important. And that might seem obvious, maybe, but I'll tell you what. It's not so obvious when it's happening. And I, as a pastor, believe that for a lot of people, this is not so obvious. So God help us to believe that he's always with us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.